Today's title is called The Word of God. Let me read a couple scriptures to you. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation 19:11-13 says, and then I, John, saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head had many crowns. He had a name written on him that no one knew except him. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We've been talking about the kingdom. We've been talking about being an heir. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. But the bottom line is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? It is our responsibility as believers to not only realize that we are heirs to the kingdom, but there is so much more. There is so much more in our lives that we have to gravitate to. When I was a young believer, I was just happy enough to get in through the door of salvation, and then whatever God wanted me to do was fine. But now as I've grown and I've matured a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, because I got a lot of work that the Holy Spirit's got to do. Amen? That's right. And how about you guys? You got work too, right? Amen. So this is going to be sort of like a remedial type of preaching today, so that we can understand that there are certain things that we need to do as believers to become so that God can use us to the fullest for the propagation of His gospel. Amen? Amen. So what I want you to understand is that, you know, just because you got the Word of God, that don't mean anything. I got 6 Bibles sitting at home just grabbing up the dust of the room. And I bet you got about the same amount. Amen? That Bible will not do you any good sitting there. That Bible does you no good in just staring at it. That Bible does you no good when you do not make application of what God says. And the whole purpose of today's message is to understand that the Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it will work in your life because the Word of God is a person. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And it is our responsibility as believers to find out what He says so that we can do exactly what He has told us to do. Amen? Amen. As believers, we need to realize that as we develop this desire for God, that God does something really interesting with us. Because God is only interested in one thing in His children. He is only interested in one thing. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You see, everything in the kingdom, everything that operates, will operate from that seed of faith that is in your life. The Bible says that God has granted a measure of faith to each and every one of His believers. You have had a seed planted in you. I call it potential. And God has placed that in you. You have a potential that you have not even begun to tap into or even realize. And God wants to bring that potential that is in there out of you for the sole purpose of affecting the world for His kingdom. When we read the Word, we have to understand that there are certain dynamics that come about. When we read the Word, we then have faith comes to us. Romans 10:17 says, now faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we're sitting there reading the Word silently, are we creating faith? No, we're not, because you're not hearing anything. Irene can tell you, there's been many nights where I would sit in the tub, soak in the tub, and I would read the Word of God aloud. Read it aloud. In just my childlike faith, I wanted to hear what God had to say. I was not waiting for somebody to say it to me. I wanted God to speak it to me. And the best way for that to happen was for me to mouth the words of God. Next, we have to learn how to be built up. When we're hearing the word of God and faith is coming, we need to build up our faith. Jude 20 says that we build up our faith, our most holy faith, through praying in the Holy Spirit. How many of us have been baptized in the Spirit and we don't speak in tongues? We don't pray in tongues because, after all, that's gibberish, Pastor. I don't want it to sound like I'm talking gibberish. Jude says to do it. Where's your faith? It's not whether you understand, it's whether you have faith. Faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Once we learn how to get that built up and praying in the Holy Spirit, we need to learn how to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we now walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, that once we have faith, or faith is simply trusting God, believing what He says and trusting Him, we no longer are operating under a sphere that the physical realities dictate to us. We operate under a higher sphere, a supernatural sphere that the world can't see, but we do. We're spirit beings caught in a body, operating in the physical realm, preach a spiritual message to a people that need to hear that God loves them and has set a course for them to experience freedom like they've never experienced freedom before. Amen? But how many of us still walk by sight and not by faith? We're going to learn how to do this. And what's the reason why we got to have faith, build up our faith, hear faith, walk by faith? It is so that we can be pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, you have unfaith, which is sin. We're born in sin. We don't believe God. We don't do anything about believing God. We would rather stay in our sin than to believe the truth. And how many of us have sat there with friends and all, and they're lying to us? Lying. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. And we believe it. But when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible, we have problems. We have problems believing, oh, God said that. Oh, that was only when the apostles lived. That was only then. That was... The Bible is the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What Jesus said in the beginning, He said during the middle, and He's going to say it at the end. And the people have to come to understand. God's people have to come to understand. This is our weapon. This is our education. This is our textbook. This is our classroom, and we need to make preparation for our ultimate job, which is in the kingdom, after we have the marriage feast of the Lamb. God's got work for us to do. And if we're so busy sitting around here saying, oh, poor little old me, poor little old this, let's face it, we're poor little because we don't read the Word of God, and better yet, we don't want God to tell us what needs to be done. After all, I'm in control. I'm God. I don't need you, God. And that is part of the deception that is in the church. Matthew 11:29. Jesus wants us to learn of Him. But I think the better way of saying is learn from Him. In other words, what He's saying to us is, you know, He is truth. He is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to have a successful life, you need to get in the way, not out of the way. Many Christians want to get out of the way. Oh, that's somebody else's job. That's somebody else's anointing. That's somebody else's. Jesus says, get in the way. Get in there. Then you'll have truth and you'll have life. What He's telling us is you got to get the Word to examine. We are such a lazy people. We don't want to examine the Word of God. We want Pastor to tell me what to do. After all, what he says is almost gospel. Because after all, he's the man of God. He knows what's going on. He has all the answers to everything. Believe me, I don't have the answers. I know Him who is the answer to everything. And I'm just smart enough to get in there to find out what he says about whatever situation I've got myself into. And the beauty of it is I can repent, turn around, and with his help, cause death and destruction to blossom into life. You see, his word, it brings life. Because he is eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we're going to operate, we need to understand that, you know what, it is my responsibility. Say, it is my responsibility to get into the Word. That's right. It's yours and mine. If you're waiting for me to keep telling you all this other stuff, and the leaders know, I've said to them, I said, I could be preaching about 100,000 different subjects, and it's just too much to cover. My Bible tells me you need to read and study the Word of God so you may rightly divide it. The word of truth. A workman need not be ashamed. We're ashamed because we don't get into word. We're ashamed because we don't share the word. We don't share truth with people that need to hear truth. We like to candy coat it a little bit to make it sound like it's okay. But the reality of it is that, you know what? Sometimes we just need to take the frying pan of truth and smack them upside the head with it. Sometimes you just need it. I'm one of those type of people. I need somebody. You know, I said, you may speak the truth to me, and I may not like it, but I will respect you for it. And too many people are so mealy-mouthed about not speaking truth, let alone living it. I can't speak truth to you if it's not a reality to me. And that's another problem that we have in the church. We like to say all this stuff, but we know in our hearts that we're not doing what God has told us to do. And then we're wondering why we find ourselves in all these little pickles. Because after all, God, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then God says, well, are you doing this that I told you to do? Well, no, but I'm doing all this other stuff. But I told you to do this. Yeah, but I'll get to it eventually, God, when I feel like it. We have to really cherish the Word of God. So I want to take us back to a real small remedial lesson in understanding some things. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those who believed in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in Luke 4:4, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How many know about fasting? We all should know about fasting because we fast off that word of God, don't we? Our spirits die because it's hungering for God's word and we delve not into it. Right? But talk about fasting your flesh so you can delve into the word of God. It's like, whoa, that's not of God. Hold on here, dude. That's food out there. I want to eat it. And I'm going to. Feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. It's more than just reading the Word. It's abiding. It's living. It's dwelling. It becomes part of you. When my kids were born, they weren't just something that was off to the side. Every once in a while, I threw a cracker to them. No. They were my family. Ah. Jesse, want a cracker? Gary, want a cracker? No, they were part of my family. And part of the provision of being in my family was to take care of them. God has made provision for us with his own word. But he wants us to abide in it. He wants us to live the truth. But we don't live the truth because we're so confused about who we are, what everybody else is doing, and we don't want to offend anybody because after all, you know, I'm just a happy-go-lucky person. You know, I can live my life this way or I can live my life that way. But what's God after? God's after just setting us free. He's after us to have faith, to be conformed in the image of his Son who died for us to set us free. He wants us to live with him now and forever in his truth because let's face it, all of us want to be successful, right? Right? But the problem with success is it requires work. And when our success doesn't meet our standards, it's always somebody else's fault. Right? We blame everybody else because we're not meeting the success that we anticipate. Well, God's pointing a finger at us and He's saying, it's your fault. I've given you all that you need, and yet you still don't understand how to apply this. How to be a man and a woman of God. How to be that which I've developed you to be. Born of you out of my spirit to cause you to become greater than anything you could ever ask or imagine. We become satisfied in just the low things of this world, thinking this is great, when actually we have seen we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we need to renew our mind, and the only way we renew our mind is getting into His Word. What is a word? Like I said, it's going to be kind of remedial, because a word, it didn't say, Jesus said, well, the Word, He said, the Word of God. What's a word? A word is a unit of language consisting of one or more spoken sounds, or is written, or is a written representation of an express that can express a thought, an idea, or a meaning to a reader or a listener as a form of communication. It's a word. A word could be a letter, a full letter, an epistle. A word can be just one word, Jesus. A word can be the whole book, because it's conveying a idea or thought or an expression. And every thought that God has is contained in Jesus. And we're going to delve into that later. Not today, but later on when we start talking about the word of faith, the word of healing, the word of wisdom. We're going to talk about these things because they're already in you. Turn to Hebrews 1. Very basic. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 4, says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus, when God spoke, He spoke Jesus. What He spoke. He spoke Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come here of my own will. God sent me. When He wanted salvation, He said, Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, Father, whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. No big deal. I can hang. And He did. For 3 hours. But there's so much in this text that we have to understand. God spoke in times past. How do we know that God spoke in times past? It's written. Right? Real simple. It's written. The prophets heard God, and they were so overwhelmed in awe that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the master of everything, would speak to me words to give to His people. And they were so impressed that they wrote them down. And they gave that word to the people. And the people either shunned the word, no, we're not going to do this, or they rent at their clothes, confessed their sin, and bent over in sackcloth and ashes, wailing before God, declaring how much of a miserable person that they are as a people to a holy God who loves them. But today Jesus came and He spoke, not only spoke to the people the truth of everything, He is the very expression of God eternal, the invisible God who no man has seen, no flesh has seen. If we want to see God the Father, we just look at Jesus. Everything about Jesus points to God. And He quoted the Scriptures. And this blew them away because He quoted truth. Now, how many people would say that Jesus was successful in His ministry? Yeah. Why was He successful in His ministry? He was successful because He said the same things that the Father said, and He did the same things that He saw the Father do via the help of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, at the end, before He was ascended into heaven, He breathed upon the disciples and He says, go. Make disciples, teaching them all things that I've taught you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out spirits, and anything that you eat that's harmful will not hurt you. Did He not say that? Then why are we fretting anything? Why do we say, yeah, He said that, but He's not saying that to me? Because we don't believe. And because we don't believe, we're in unbelief, or we're in sin. God is speaking to His church in these last days. He's saying, church, you got to get it together. Time is running out. You got to tell people. You got to invite them to my house. You got to do whatever you need to do to compel them to come in. I'm going to shut the door. And when I shut the door, it's going to be too late. Just like with Noah. When he shut the door, it was too late. And he destroyed the world. And he's going to do it again. The Word of God. If you want to see the Father, look at Jesus. How do you look at Jesus? See what He says. See what He does. Get your minds focused on the Lord. Get your minds renewed. You can do everything through Christ Jesus. Everything that pertains to life is found in Christ Jesus. Where are you at? In Christ Jesus. Remember the teaching about a year ago about being in the tank or on the tank, around the tank? We're in the tank. Jesus is the tank. Nothing can hurt us. And when we move as part of the tank, guess what? The enemy scatters because they don't want to get squashed. Church, you've got to begin to cultivate this thing. You've got to begin to see what's going on. I can remember when I was young person, God gave me two tremendous gifts. He gave me the ability to see the future, which at that time was called ESP. And it gave me a very strong gift of discerning. I could discern a person the first time I met you, what you were all about. And I still do. I know what you're all about. But when I was young and I wasn't even saved, Satan was trying to turn that and pervert that in such a way that I began to doubt. And when I doubt, I wasn't assured of anything. I would have conversation and I would have this doubt come into my mind about her. And these thoughts of doubt began to become accusatory. She's doing this, she's doing that. And it's like, I have no evidence of that. But she's doing this. You can't trust her. She's doing this. Can you imagine if I opened up my mouth and began to accuse her of things that she wasn't doing? What do you think the outcome would have been? We probably would not be married today. Psychologists say that is projection. I'm projecting what I want, but I'm going to accuse her of my evil desire. All I know is that those evil desires are here, and I was accusing her, but I was smart enough not to give life to that. Proverbs 18 says, there's power in the tongue that can bring either life or death, and those who enjoy it will eat the fruit of it. In other words, if I gave life to death, I would have received death. The death of my marriage, the death of a relationship, the death of someone that I love. Because actually, I would have been abusing towards her in my speech. Attitudinal wise, I was confused because if I'm to examine everything in truth, I need to examine it fully so I can come to a conclusion of what truth is and base my decisions on that. But when I am confused in my mind and I am doubting what truth is, if I respond out of the emotions that are being stirred, I will bear forth death. This is not an emotional thing, church. This is totally spirit. We must learn how to operate by faith to get out of the emotions. Satan wants to use our unbelief to keep us in a place where we cannot do the things of God. Not that we can't. We think we cannot, when the Bible tells us we can. We can do everything that Jesus did. And you guys have seen it. You have seen God use me in a way that power comes through. You've seen healings come through. You've seen tongues. You've seen gifts, discernment, spirits, words of wisdom coming from brothers and sisters coming. You know that's a reality. Why don't you want it? Why don't you want to be part of what God is doing? Because Satan has filled your heart with lies. Everything that God speaks is good, perfect, wholesome, pure, and true. Remember Revelation 19? He is faithful and true. In the Hebrew, or even in the Greek, it talks about when you name something, it is a characteristic of that object. The characteristic of Jesus is being faithful and true. What he says, he is. When he spoke to Moses out there in the desert, he says, I am that I am. In other words, I'm all that you could ever ask or imagine, and that more. And I am that. So whatever you need me to be, that's what I am. If you need healing, he's that. He's our healer. If you need peace, he's our peace. If you need wisdom, he is our wisdom. But the only place you're going to find it is not out there asking everybody. It's in his word. It's in his word. That's how you get to know him. It's how you apply things. It's how the supernatural operates. Can you imagine? And here's a thought that is really radical, because I just sat at my computer last night thinking about this. Can you imagine if God's word was filled with doubt and unbelief? Think about this. When he spoke creation, but there was doubt and unbelief, what would creation look like? What would the universe look like? What would we look like? I mean, there's people out there that are so confused that they think that they're women in men's bodies, and they think that they're men in women's bodies, you know, or men in women's bodies. Yeah, that's right. And they're confused, and yet God's in control. What if it wasn't so? We would be falling up instead of falling down. Birds would be walking. We would be flying. Fish wouldn't be in the water, they'd be in the air. Birds would be in the ocean, not in the air. Can you imagine how confusing that would be? And yet, when we apply God's Word, we apply His principles, it works. I did a series on prosperity, teaching you about the importance of tithing. When you don't tithe, what happens? You eat your seed. When you have no seed, don't expect a crop. Because you can't have a blessing if you don't plant something. God says, you know, if you bring it out, bill, my insurance just came in. Do you believe that? I couldn't even expect that to come in until maybe a couple months from now. Why do you think you got problems? Is it because God told you to do something and you're withholding from Him? So He's allowing the canker worm to eat up your stuff, your life, your peace, your wisdom? You see, when you apply God's principles to your life, they work. It doesn't matter what the situation is, what matters, whose principles are you going to operate in? Whose word are you going to believe? His? I choose to believe His. I've seen what He's done in my life. He's healed my marriage. I got a building project that's going on. It seems never ending. But I'm still giving the Lord. I'm still doing what God wants. I think I'm successful. You may not think I'm successful. You may really think I'm retarded at this stage of my life to build such a... Yeah, I know that. I am retarded. In a godly way. But I've learned one thing. And if you go away from this, take this one. If you find it in the Word of God and you begin to start expressing it, it works. It works. There is a responsibility that I have. It's called being in right standing with God. If I'm not tithing, we'll go back to that tithing issue. If I am not tithing, I am in not right standing with God. Especially when I know that God has told me that I need to do that. It says, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness. No? Okay, let's try this again. We seek Dan's kingdom and his righteousness. No? Let me seek Amber's kingdom and my righteousness. No? What's that? And? Absolutely. You see, my job is to encourage you to seek, to knock, to ask. And you will receive. But you have to believe. First, you have to believe not here, but here. You have to see it here, not here. And I know it's hard. Believe me, I've fallen into that trap time to times. But I'm smart enough to get out of it once I recognize it. Some of us just haven't recognized it. Pastor, you don't understand. I got all these problems going on. Well, I can recall what Chambach used to say. They got no faith in God. That's the truth. God's bigger than any problem we could ever have. He's the solver of every problem. All we need to do is see it in His Word, implement it, which means bring yourself into right standing with Him, and it happens. What He instructs me to do, it happens. May not happen today, may not happen tomorrow. But it will happen. Faithful and just and true. Get into the Word. Next week we're going to talk about faith. The Word of faith. What it means. How to really step out of the boat onto the water. And really start believing God. at His Word. Amen? Father, I just...
Mark,
the 11th chapter. Today's title is The Word of Faith. Mark 11, we will be reading verses 22 through 23. We there? Mark 11, 22 and 23. Actually, we'll keep praying. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." We have been talking about being heirs of the kingdom. We have been talking a little bit about the kingdom. But now we're going to bring it home. The kingdom dwells in us, but we don't believe that. But that's what the Word of God says. Jesus is telling us that whatever you ask, believe. Or have faith. What is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. Holly was going to give us Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we've talked about that. And we should now understand how that operates. That faith is yesterday, right? It's now. Now. Faith is now. It's for today. It's not for tomorrow. Tomorrow is hope. What was in the past is in the past. We can't change that, nor do I personally care about the past. It is what it is. I can't change it in my past or in your past. But there are too many of God's people still living in the past. That's not faith. It's unbelief. There's too many looking to the future, which is a good thing, but denying the reality of where they are now. And God wants us to be a people that live now. He says, today is the day of salvation. And when we entered into that glorious reception of becoming saved, God did some marvelous things to us, but yet we as a people still are operating from unbelief. Well, today I hope that we come to understand a little bit more about what faith is, how to access this, and really understand that there is nothing stopping us from having the things that God wants us to have to fulfill His will in the world today. Amen? Amen. Let me preface this by saying to you that God has given to us, according to Romans 12:3, He has given us a measure of faith. That was before we got saved. We had faith before we got saved. You may say, well, that's kind of nuts. But it's true. And a couple examples we've all heard before that, you know, those of us that are employed believe that our employer will pay us the monies that He promised us, right? At the end of the week. And so we continue to walk that out, believing that we'll receive that paycheck, and at the end of the week, something miraculous happens. We get paid. But let's break it down to even more simpler things. How many of us believe that when we turn on our cell phone and we dial that number, man, we're going to talk to whoever we're dialing up, right? 1-800 whoever, right? That's faith. You're believing that. Because, you know what? Somebody told you that this telephone is going to talk, help communicate to you from you to that person without any wires, without anything. It's by faith that you operate this. Or when you walk into a room and it's dark as all get out and you're over there fumbling around for the light switch, when you find it, you finally turn that light switch on, you believe that when you turn that switch to the on position, the lights go on. Right? How did you know that? Because somebody told you. Right? Somebody told you that at the end of the week, you're going to get paid. Somebody told you that if you use that cell phone this way, this is what's going to happen. Somebody told you that when you walk into that room and find that light switch, it's going to work. Well, God is telling us in His Word that if we use His Word properly, great and awesome things are going to happen. And I'm here to testify to you that I am just that naive to take God at His Word, that when He says this is going to happen, and I believe everything that He has said to me, that it's going to happen. And you know what's so crazy? It does. It happens. When God speaks to my heart and tells me to do something, and I do it without doubting, something happens. What happens is my faith now is in conjunction with His faith. You see, Jesus said, if you have faith in God, and really the true Greek translation is that, if you have the faith of God, not in God, but the faith of God, if you say to this mountain, leave here, get into the sea, it will happen. You remember when Jesus was walking down the road, He'd just come from Jerusalem, and He went up to the fig tree, and the fig tree didn't have any fruit because it wasn't the time of the season to have fruit. And so what was His response? He cursed the tree, and the Scripture says that it dried up from the roots. And then the next day, they walk by, and the disciples say, yo, dude, check this out. Jesus cursed this tree, and it's dead. How many times we say things and it comes to pass and we don't realize that it came to pass because we said these things? You see, faith is not something that's mindless. The illustrations of our physical faith or carnal faith is in the realities of this physical realm. True faith that God wants us to have is a faith in the supernatural. Believing that what I say that He says I can have, all I need to do is say it back to Him. Why? Out of mouths of two or more witnesses, let all things be established. I'm agreeing with God. He said it, I believe it, I say it back to Him. I'm in agreement with what He says shall be. Jesus used the illustration. He says, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. I do nothing unless I hear my Father. I do nothing unless, and it is. My Father's ever working. My Father's ever speaking. My Father, your Father and my Father's still working. Your Father and my Father's still speaking. Your Father and my Father wants us to begin to utilize this faith that is pleasing to Him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 6, or 11:6, right? Where is our faith? How does faith come? We know faith comes by hearing, but really the truth of it is the faith that God wants us to have is already in us. He's given us a measure, and this measure is kind of like this little mustard seed that He talked about. You have faith of a mustard seed. He gave us this measure. And He didn't give Ed more of a measure than He gave to Gary. And He didn't give more to Gary than He did to Dan. He gave us all the same measure. Why is it that certain people seem to have more faith than other people? They exercise it. I heard the illustration put this way. I go into the store and I got 50 cents in my pocket. But everything in that store is going to cost a dollar or more. But I'm believing that I can buy something with 50 cents. If the least cost of something is a dollar, can I purchase it? No. And that's the way the church is at this very moment. I've got 50 cents in my pocket, God, but you're saying that I have to have a dollar in order for my faith to stimulate something in the spirit realm. And the church is waiting for God to give her the 50 cents in order to get this thing done. I'm here to tell you it is your responsibility and my responsibility to begin to earn that 50 cents because it's out there. And the way we earn it is we exercise our faith by believing what God says. You can't believe God for a miracle in your life if you don't exercise the faith that it requires to begin to institute that. Let me give you an illustration. How many believe in divine healing? How many pray? Yeah, we all pray. But how many have prayed and believed God and see miraculous healings come forth? Okay. How did you get there? You got there by faith, right. But you had to be in motion in order to exercise what you already have to get it out of you. Remember potential? We all have this potential hidden within us. It is our responsibility to break the outer shell so that this potential can be released. It's exercising my faith that my Father says that because Jesus does everything that He's done, and I'm in Jesus, now I can do everything that Jesus did, right? I just need to have the faith of God to do it. Let's look at Genesis 1 for a second here. Today I'm teaching. It's not preaching because I'm not even in my notes today. Apparently the Holy Spirit wants us to get something very basic. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. We know that John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Well, I was just reading from the Jehovah's Witness Bible. It's wrong. Okay, you guys are reading your Word. That's good. And the Word was God. Or, better translation, and the Word was divine, kingly, regal. Of which we are a part of a nation of kings and priests, a peculiar people. Keep that thought. In the beginning, God created. Well, the Word was before the beginning. The Word we found was Jesus. In the beginning, God created. We know that through the Scriptures it says everything that has been created is upheld by His power of His Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus created everything. Jesus is upholding everything. We are in Jesus. We now have that same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you and in me. But I need to exercise my faith. How do I exercise my faith? Well, it's real simple. We have to do the things that God does. And God said, let there be light. Ooh. God said, let there be light. Was there light? Not only was there light, it was good. Okay, it was good. The illustration here is, in order for me to exercise my faith, I must confess with my mouth my faith. James says, don't tell me about your faith, show me your works. Right? But how in the world can I show my faith if I'm just saying something? Everything's tied to our DNA. Everything. In our DNA, it is contained within it all the helix information that makes us up, right? Tells me what color my skin's going to be, how beautiful my hair that's remaining is still here, color of my eyes, how tall I am, how fat I am, how beautiful you are, the whole nine yards is contained within the helix of our DNA. When I had the faith that God had put into me and I heard the good news of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden my faith that was in there was germinated. It was excited. I heard truth for the first time, and all of a sudden I exercised the faith that was so pleasing to God, I cried out, Abba, Father, to Him. Daddy, save me. I need to get saved. And that was the first time that I exercised, and you exercised, faith that is pleasing to God. Why? Because Peter tells us that God desires that all men come to repentance, that none should perish. Everybody should come to repentance. So that faith in reality that God has put into us is not to be used for our carnality, although that's how we learn how to use our faith. Our faith is to get us saved. We've heard about saving faith. But that only gets us through the door into the kingdom. Now we must learn to exercise that faith. And exercising that faith, with that measure that He's given me, that 50 cents, when I confess to Him, God, I'm a sinner and I need to get saved and only You can save me, I immediately receive that other 50 cents. Now I can purchase something in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Exercising my faith requires me to believe what He says in His Word, and me confessing back to Him what He has said in His Word, believing in my heart, I receive it. Now, have I received my salvation? Have I received my salvation? Have you received your salvation? Yes. How do you know? Amen. His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a son and child of His. And because His Word says so. I don't feel it any different, do I? I don't know any different. I just believe that what He said is true. Now, as I continue to delve into His Word, and I continue to listen to what He's saying to me, and I confess what I believe He's saying to me, does that mean I immediately receive everything that I have? Again, we go back to time and space elements. Because I'm in agreement with God, I'm connected with Him, and my faith is connected with Him now, I am become pleasing to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If I am pleasing to God, I am in right standing with God. And everything that I need, God says He will provide for me. So I don't need to confess, God, I need a car, I need a J-O-B, I need this. But if that's an element in which I need to exercise my faith, then I need to confess to Him, because my Bible tells me He already knows what I need. It's not like, oh God, oh, I got to pay an electric bill tonight. Oh man, I need some bucks to do this, God. Oh, my world's going to end. God is not like that. God is saying, chill. It's under control. First of all, are you doing what I told you to do? Ooh. But you don't understand it. They're going to cut my electric off. Chill. Are you doing what I told you to do? If you could honestly say that you're doing all that you were told to do by God, then it's His responsibility to take care of everything. That's trusting God. It's faith in God. If I'm doing my part and doing what He tells me to do, I am in obedience. When I am in disobedience, I don't have faith, because that is unbelief. Unbelief is being disobedient. I don't believe what God says, so I'm not going to do that. You see where I'm going with this? It is predicated, my faith to grow is predicated on my obedience to respond to what God says in a way that brings forth the righteousness of Christ from me, that I may be in right standing with Him, or be in unity with Him and His will, that He can use me the way He wants it done, not the way I want things done. We get frustrated. Kev, you spend all night playing video games. Now you come here and you want to fall asleep. I'm not going to let you fall asleep, pal. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to preach the word to you. I'm going to preach it to you. Why? Because the Bible says it is foolishness for a man to stay up late at night thinking that he could get up early in the morning. Well, that's true. Then I must be a fool for spending the wee hours of the morning playing video games when I should be resting so I can get up early in the morning to do what God says to do. Like get a J-O-B or get ready for church, be all springy and spry, whatever. I mean, I know I'm going to step on people's toes, but basically I don't really care. You know, because I'm about up to here with people just living their lives the way they think that they should live their lives, not living their lives according to what our King demands of us. And that may sound hard and callous, and it's meant to. It's meant to convict you. But I can imagine how my Father is in heaven, who has been taught constantly telling people what He needs them to do, and their disobedience is inhibiting what He wants. Your disobedience is stopping what God wants to do through this fellowship, whether you understand it or not. Your sin will cause this fellowship harm. And early on in this ministry, I harped about the sins and harped about us being in right relationship with each other so that nothing would impede the will of God flowing through us so that the Spirit of God could use us so that we could touch people's lives and bring them into the kingdom of God. Faith in God requires my absolute obedience. And yours too. How many have seen the movie Blues Brothers? Not the remake, I'm talking about the original. Where one of the Blues Brothers were being asked by one of the people, they said, what are you doing? And they're sitting there and they were asking for money to help their orphanage out and all. And they said, we're on a mission from God. Well, church, we're on a mission from God. And if He was to pay us what we're worth, we'd have to pay Him back. Because we in America think that we can live and sustain our lives in such a way that it's pleasing to God. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not. Your best is stench unto God. But your obedience to God and what He says to do in His Word is like a sweet fragrance going up into there. It's a sacrifice. Yeah, it's we're not to be conformed to the world, but yet we think that we should do that in order to reach the world. That's not faith. Jesus didn't conform. He was a rebel rouser. He offended anybody and everybody that thought that He should conform to their standards, to their wishes, and their ways. And I'm here to encourage you, do not conform to that. Use the faith that God has given to you and allow the individuality that He has created you to be to come forth. That speaks greater volumes than well, you know, I'm just hanging with the boys out there, and we be talking, and I'm waiting for a time to just tell them about Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, you know, my boys, they listen to me. They ain't listening to you, none of you, because Satan has disqualified you from really being utilized in a way that preaches truth. Because there's no truth to your reality. I don't know where the Holy Spirit's going with this, but obviously He's not pleased about something, but He wants to get something across, and it's not in my message. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? If you're not speaking the Word of God back, then you're speaking something that's not of God. And faith, our faith is brought about by what we hear. Remember, we'll go back to the basic. We are what we believe, but we believe what we hear. If we're not hearing what God is saying, then we can't do what God says. We can't exercise our faith because we don't believe that what God says is true. And the only truth is God's Word. He tells us not to get involved in relationships that would be detrimental to us. He says, you know, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It doesn't. Because the light drives the darkness away. You're children of the light. Why are you still associating with people of darkness? Hear me, in balance. They got to get saved. You are the only Jesus that they may see. But if you're living your life the same as they are, you are not living as a testimony of light. Because Jesus said, you've now put your basket to cover the light. You're ashamed of being a Christian. You see, they need to hear. I was talking with one of the Baker boys yesterday. And of course, I get accused of being religious. But for the first time, he was not argumentative or disputive with me. He was jaw-locked, watching and listening to what I was saying, because what I was saying was tackling other areas of a life that I've experienced and could relate to him. And I'm just throwing seed out. I'm just throwing a seed out. How many of us are disobedient to God when he says, bring in the whole tithe? You got an empty seed bag and you can't throw seed out. You don't have any seed. So how do you expect to get a crop? If I throw seed out, I expect a return. That's faith. Why? Because God says, you know, there's a time and a season for everything. You throw seed out there, you're going to get a crop. Sooner or later, you're going to get a crop. The crop that you get, it may not be the crop that you like, but you're going to get a crop. I would rather believe God and throw that crop out there that he gives me, the seed, because of my obedience and faith and believing that as I give, God gives back to me. I can't outgive God. It's impossible. He owns it all. By his gracious constitution, he gives me the freedom to live off of 90% as a starting point. And if you look at the scripture,